Brendan Shanahan, president of the Leafs, joining us here on Tim and Sid. Brendan, it's great to talk to you. How's everyone doing on your end?
Well, first off, I feel bad. I just heard you guys say usually you have fun at this segment, but not today.
That's not what he meant. You know that's
not
what he meant.
We don't stretch our legs the way we normally do.
It's not what he meant. It's what he said.
I just meant we stretch our legs, but we still have fun whenever you pop by.
Things are fine here, guys. Obviously. You know, for me and my family, I've got three teenagers, my wife and I, you know, considering some of the things that are going on in the world, where we feel pretty fortunate. And trying to use the time as the extra family time as best as we can.
Have you tried to make the TikTok videos yet? Have the young ones convinced you to be cool on TikTok? Has that happened?
The answer is I've not made a TikTok video, but I've probably been a guest appearance in the background of a few. And I don't know. I think my kids are just past that age where it's cool to do one with dad. It's more or less dad likes to get in the background and ruin when they're in the middle of a good routine.
I think the last time that we saw you, it turned into a spirited conversation about the ending of Game of Thrones. It might have been the second last time we saw you. Like, I know we're all kind of a different busy these days with the crazy time that has affected us all. But other than being involved in the background of your kids' TikToks, like, what's getting the Shanahan's mind off of what we're all dealing with these days? Has there been a go-to to binge? Did you go back to Game of Thrones? Like, where are you at?
Well, I mean, it's amazing how much time I actually do spend in the course of the day, like on the phone, and there's just so many more. It seems to me there are more meetings than we have even when a normal regular season is going on. And I guess that's what happens when you're trying to manage an organization in which you don't get to see people on a regular basis. But, you know, in the beginning, I think I ate every potato chip in the city of Toronto, so I apologize.
Let's go, Brendan.
I apologize to the people for that. Try to get my kids. It's hard to find like one show that we all like. So we sort of bounce around from show to show. I've thought about starting Mad Men because I missed that one. But then my daughter wanted to get into Breaking Bad, which I'm willing to watch for a third time.
A third time. Wow.
Well, I watched it myself, and then a couple of years ago, my wife started it, and all of a sudden, I was just hooked again. It's just such a great – Breaking Bad might be one of the best shows ever.
No argument here. You better call Saul guy, because this last season, they just got wrapped up with something else.
Yeah, I am up to date. On Better Call Saul. As a matter of fact, I just watched the last episode. I had it recorded, so I watched it last night. So, I'm squeezing everything I can out of that writer and those the guys that make that. I did the Tiger thing and really regretted it. After the first episode, it was just like, it's like when you have that tub of ice cream and the first few taste okay and then you eat it all and you're just sick of yourself.
That's a great analogy.
Just feels so bad.
Yeah. I lost faith in humanity. And then just turned it off. Yeah,
you got to take a shower when it's over. I had the same feeling.
Guilt runs over.
Brendan Shanahan, president of the Leafs here at Tim and Sid. There has been a lot here, Brendan, in the last 48 hours. So before we run out of time with you, let's dive into some of it in terms of what you're thinking. The ideas of hub cities.
Yeah.
Are you hoping Toronto is one of them? Have you spoken to Gary about Toronto being a hub city?
First off, I do like the idea of four hub cities. The idea of bringing each division to that hub city, it's one of the best ideas, or most workable, I guess, is a better way of putting it. And we're not talking about doing it right now or anytime like right around the corner, but when the time is safe and the proper authorities give the clearance to do so, under the right precautions, I think that it is a very workable scenario. We're one of the teams that they're one of the cities that they're looking at. They're looking at several, and I think that there's a real partnership. You know, in other work stoppages in the past, they've been adversarial in nature. This one has not been. So this work stoppage in hockey, everything I hear, I'm not involved in these conversations, but from everything I hear from the player side and the league side, there's been a real incredible amount of communication and a partnership. They're really listening to each other. So I think it can happen. I think that it's highly unlikely we'll play any part of this season, whether it's in the summertime or early fall, in front of fans. But I still think that there's an appetite to have games and to put them on and make a really, you know, fantastic TV product and get everybody feeling just a little bit back to normal. I don't think our first step into the, you know, getting back to normal is going to be how we left it. But I do think that we've got to sort of readjust our expectations. And this plan that I've heard with the four hub cities, I think is a plan that can work.
Brendan Shanahan joining us here on Tim and Sid. And listen, we all work with the caveat that society has to be well. We have to be in a good spot for any of this to go forward. And I think and I hope that we all understand that. That said, it sounds like you're optimistic that we can get some sort of conclusion to this season.
Yeah, look, I agree with you. First and foremost, the backdrop, everything, the health and safety of our players, our staff, our fans, everybody that would be involved in the production of putting these games on, the people that would have to come and work, is first and foremost. When the time is right, I'm absolutely optimistic. I think if you have the entire, you'd have to rework the schedule so that you're just playing the teams within your division. It would be a competition within your division to make the playoffs, obviously, if they were to do something like that. But without getting too far into it, these plans can change. They can adapt. We know right now, like, the world we live in this week might be certainly different than the world we lived in a week ago.
Yeah.
And could be different from the world we live in next week. So from what I've heard and from, you know, I do really think it can work. I think that the players want to finish the season. They all want to have an 82-game season. And the schedule makers feel that that can be done in 3 weeks. Right at that point there, you're talking about 16 teams moving on and 15 teams going home. A week to 10 days later, that's another 8 teams done after round one of the playoffs. That's 23 teams home, and you got 8 teams moving on. So it becomes a little bit easier to contain and manage, and you're just also hoping that by the time we're in a position to possibly do these things, whether it's in Toronto or somewhere else, that we're just in a much better place with our healthcare, and you know, and we're in a place where the community and the city and the countries are looking for this and hoping for something like this.
Yeah.
Brendan Shanahan, president of the Leafs, joining us. I mean, guys, remember 6.5 weeks ago we weren't here.
Yeah.
So who knows what the next 6.5 weeks are going to look like, right? Like, when we're all hoping for the best,
absolutely.
But from a time frame standpoint, you really don't know. Brendan, I've heard not from everybody, because most people inside the game, there's been optimism, but from some people on the periphery, fans of the game, their thought is, well, this it's just not a real Stanley Cup. Someone's going to get handed a cup in an empty stadium and paraded around for the sake of TV, and it's not going to be real. Do you agree with that notion?
It'll be real. It'll be different. Look, people said that, you know, when the Devils won the Stanley Cup in 95 in a lockout shortened season. And I don't really see an asterisk next to their name when Scott Stevens gets referred to as a 3-time Stanley Cup champion. It's not 2 plus the asterisk 1. So, like I said, you're right, things could be different. I do think that, you know, we take care of our families and we take care of our community, but this is also our job. So it makes sense to plan for something like this in case we're able to do it. I guess we'll see. You know, I can't give you a definitive answer. I guess we'll see, and we'll decide at the end of a, you know, 4 separate 4 out of 7 playoff series, whether or not the team that wins feels like a Stanley Cup champion. My guess is if you are the last team standing after all of this, even if it's not in front of fans, and you've played four playoff series against the NHL's elite, and you've beaten all four teams, I think you're going to wear and have the honor of a Stanley Cup champion.
Fair enough.
Brendan Shanahan joining us here on Tim and Sid. I thought Gary Bettman was great in conversation with Ron McLean yesterday. I don't know if you saw it, but he was open and honest. I thought even more than normal. Would you be okay with the draft happening and then a possible conclusion to the season?
I would. I would be okay with that. And it's not perfect, but I would say this. Who knows what it's going to look like if we think we're going to do this in, August, September, or October. If we're playing hockey, if we're finishing a Stanley Cup, if we have the hopes and anticipation of doing a quick turnaround and restarting a season, I just feel like we're all not working currently. And like I said, it's not perfect. It's a little bit different. But I think if you're thinking in the big picture, to do this in June, I don't think doing this in August or September is really going to change much. We're not going to see these young guys play anymore. We've seen them all. We've got video on them all. It's not ideal. We're never going to be in a position for this year's draft where we're down on a floor together and mixing and mingling and making trades and talking to one another. So, my view, and it's just the view of the Maple Leafs, and I've talked with Kyle Dubas on this, is while we know what we're doing now, which is not anything, we should get it out of the way and take care of it in June. And I know other clubs, and I respect that they might have a different opinion, but I would certainly Toronto would support the league in doing it remotely in June.
And Brendan, I think it's worth reminding people that a lot of contracts with organizations, and I'm not just looking at yours specifically, but around the league, who have scouted these kids, who have been to Europe, who have watched junior hockey and college hockey all year, some of these deals do wrap up July 1st for organizational staff who have worked on these drafts. So it's beneficial in that way to have a June draft, just so that everyone who's done the research and put in the time can kind of, quote unquote, have their moment. Is that a fair way to describe it?
Well, yes and no, because I think in general we and again we're just figuring all this stuff out on the go, and we've talked about that ourselves. Where we have staff members whose contracts are up at the end of June, and we have players whose contracts are up at the end of June. So the reality is we're not going to start tampering and picking apart other teams' coaching staffs and player personnel or players. There'll probably be a slide to all of the sort of critical date expirations, and I think that's something that the Players Association and the league will work out together.
Brendan Shanahan joining us here on Tim's. One of the things that Gary couldn't answer, and I understand why he couldn't, were some of the economic questions, because, listen, there's a ton of them, and we're going to work through this as we move along. But you guys already have about $77 million committed to next season. Some of that can be moved around. We all understand that. With the cap, we all understand could go down significantly. Do you guys have an idea of how the projections from Boca Raton will be adjusted moving forward? And can that be fair to everybody?
Here's what I would say is, well, first off, this is, again, something that I'm not involved in. This is a conversation between Donald Fehr and Gary Bettman, and they're going to handle this. But neither men have any interest in ruining hockey teams around the NHL. And if we were to take things literally, you'd probably have, 28 teams that would have to really sort of dismantle. And, right. And you know, there'd be, 28 sellers and not enough buyers. So the real responsible thing that I'm hearing from all of them is that neither of them, whether it's the Players Association or the league, have any interest in hurting teams and forcing teams to dismantle, especially in an environment where we're going to want to be coming back strong. We're going to be wanting coming back to our fans with all of our star players that we've assembled. And I think any suggestion by people to any suggestion by people that we're suddenly going to, every team's going to have to like start getting rid of players or buying players out or letting players go. I'm not an expert in this. I don't have all the answers, but I just can tell you that from a league level, that's not where their position is. They want all of us teams to stay together and keep together. So I'm hopeful that whatever the cap is today, it remains. I'm actually more than hopeful and confident that the league and the union will find a way to make that happen.
So it wouldn't be like percentages and working out that way if it did get an answer in the next little while or as we move forward? Is that like you're hoping that it'll stay around the same?
I think that the league and the union will do everything they can so that you know, players aren't being asked to leave cities when they don't want to leave and the teams don't want them to leave. And I think that I don't know the details of those conversations, but I will say that the perspective from the league office is that they don't want this situation to be the cause for teams to sort of have to dismantle and ruin what they've begun to build. So I guess that's as clear as I can put it. There's I don't hear, and I'm not hearing, and I'm in all these meetings that we have each and every week, and I have never not once heard anything about reducing the salary cap. What I've ever heard from the league and from is that they want to find a way that the teams can all stay together.
Brendan Shanahan, president of the Leafs, here on Tim and Sid. Last one for me, Brendan. I know there's a lot of players resting right now, and whenever everyone comes back, everyone's going to be fresh. But the reality is the guys might be playing hockey every other day for the next X amount of months whenever it starts. Is there an advantage in youth here? Do you feel having young players in such an abnormal situation where it's going to be a grind to get to the place everyone wants to get to, do you think the Leafs are maybe more equipped than others and maybe fresher as it goes along to make a run?
Well, I mean, you know, the predictability of youth is is something we've kidded around about with our team this year for sure, even within our own doors. I think it can serve certainly as an advantage, but I've said this all along about our team. Like, I have such a belief in what we are all building here and the upward trajectory and potential of this group to continue to get better. I do think it's an advantage. Do I think it's, you know, do I think that teams that have experience and who are seasoned pros see that as an advantage as well? Probably as well. So, you know, our guys are still motivated. Our guys are still dialed in. They're still optimistic. I'm sure, like all of us, they have good days and bad days, but I think that they desperately want to come back and play like all players do, especially the players and the teams that were battling for playoff spots. So I'm really optimistic. And again, I want to reiterate, because I don't say this very much during the season. I don't like to be a distraction. I don't like to say things too much so that the coach or the manager or the players have to answer for comments I make in between their games. But I really believe in what we're building. And I believe in the potential we have. Are we done building what we want to build? Are we done with the complete makeup of the team? Of course not. But I think that what Kyle has done and adding some of the players that he's added and then just looking at the potential and, you know, the growth patterns of how a 21, 22, 23-year-old player looks when he's 25, 26, and 27, I really believe in what we have, and I think it's a great time to be a Maple Leaf fan. And I know that sometimes angers people, and maybe my optimism angers people. I still think that there are good things here to come, and not without highs and lows. It's funny. I remember, and I know I'm going on a little too long here, but not last year, but the season before, I was speaking in front of our team at an event, and we had been going through, it was the 18-19 season, we've been going through a tough time. And I read some quotes I read some quotes. One was basically about the Capitals in the 17-18 year, the year they won the Stanley Cup. And it was in the middle of the season. It was talking about how this team should be dismantled and how they should think about trading Ovechkin and how they missed their moment and they're never going to win. And they won the Cup that year. And then I even read something from the 15-16 season in which they were saying pretty much the same thing about the Penguins, you know, that they got to start moving people out and firing people and rebuilding this thing. And this was just before they won back-to-back Cups. And it's not to say that the Toronto Maple Leafs were the Stanley Cup favorite or that we think we're exactly where we need to be in order to win a Stanley Cup yet. It's just to say that we better get used to the fact that even for a team and an organization in a city where they do win a cup, you have moments where you're not feeling good and you're not happy with yourself and you're not proud of yourself. And the big key here is to just stick with it and keep grinding it out.
You've been very kind with your time, and I got one more for you. I'm wearing my Conquer COVID-19 T-shirt as we speak, and I saw on your Twitter account you and your daughter wearing the Conquer COVID-19. You're speaking to your hometown right now on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Is there anything that you've seen or anything that you've been watching, you know, from your quarantine that you're particularly proud about or that you want to kind of get out there so that everyone can hear right now?
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't ever want to take it upon myself to be a spokesman. I just think but there are so many times you want to say more and you want to thank more people. As many sad stories that I've heard, and I've experienced some personal sad stories with friends and loved ones that I knew in the New York and New Jersey area as well. I hear so many more stories of incredible humanity and people banding together. So having been a guy that grew up in Toronto, that has deep roots here with my family and with all of my friends growing up, and the Toronto Maple Leafs. Look, at the end of the day, I was a kid, I was a fan, and I get to be here now, and I get to work for the Maple Leafs. So I know what hockey can mean to this city. There are more important things than sport. I get it. But I just want to come back for that reason when the time is right. But what I think about the most is, of course, you know, all of the people that are banding together and all of the people who are fighting by staying home. And for people like my mother, who's in her late 80s, who, quite honestly, we had to really convince her to stop going to Tim Hortons and stop going to the bank and stop wondering when the hairdresser would reopen. You know, you're fighting for people and your neighbors and for each other, and you want to do more, and sometimes you have to fight by doing less, and that's frustrating. But I just can't wait till I get to see everybody's faces again. I really can't, and we will, and we definitely will. It will take time, and there'll be more pain before we get there. But we'll all be standing. We're going to beat this thing, and we'll all be standing in the end.